With Christmas Eve and the first night of Hanukkah tomorrow night, kitchens around the country will be working overtime. But what are some of the do's and don'ts of roasting meats and vegetables? Recently, Here and Now resident chef Kathy Gunst joined Jeremy Hobson in our studios for a roasting lesson.
Kathy, great to see you.
Hi, Jeremy.
And roasting just seems to be something we do a lot more as the weather gets colder, but maybe we don't do it so well. So what are some of the big mistakes people make?
I got to tell you, years ago, I wrote a book called Roasting, and I have been obsessed with this method of cooking ever since. So let's just define it first. And that's actually easier said than done. Mm. You'll see like a recipe called roast chicken, and it'll say bake the chicken. And you're like, wait, bake or roast? What is it? So roasting is the action of cooking something in an oven. How's that for a generic description? But it also has to do with a hot and dry type of heat and cooking method. So in other words, it's not a ton of liquid. It's not a super low temperature. Usually you're talking about a hot oven and something that's dry because you want the heat of the oven to sear whatever it is that you're roasting. But we will get into that.
Well, and baking, by the way, would be what then?
Well, this is where it gets super murky. Honestly, I think it's semantics, but you bake a cake, you bake a pie, you roast a chicken, you roast a standing rib roast,
okay.
Which I want to just come clean right now and say I did not do for you.
Oh,
I
saw that there was no roast here.
There's no roast meat there, but I have a beautiful recipe for you for a standing rib roast, which is sort of the ultimate Christmas or New Year's feast, you know, some gorgeous, gorgeous cut of meat, hopefully locally raised, sustainably raised, organically raised. Have I hit every buzzword there?
Yes.
But honestly, the key to a good standing rib roast for the holidays is just fabulous meat, salt and pepper, and a very high temperature to begin. And then often with roasting, what you do is you start it high and you reduce it to a lower temperature again, so you get that beautiful, crisp, golden brown crackly crust.
And we will put your recipe for the standing rib roast that you didn't make me at hereandnow.org. But Kathy, I just want to go back to
I need to change the title. The standing rib roast I didn't make you. Okay.
It's an original.
Yes.
The mistakes that people make, what are some of the big ones?
I think one of the biggest one has to do with the first step, which is choosing a roasting pan. If you have a roasting pan where the sides are very high, more than a few inches, you're going to steam the food. What's going to happen is the sides of the pan are going to sort of trap the heat, and it's going to create moisture in the bottom of the pan as opposed to having hot, dry heat that's circulating all around. So you want a really large roasting pan, and you don't want the sides of it to be super high. You always want a pan that's bigger than the amount of food that you're cooking. Once you start crowding a roasting pan, again, steam is created. It gets crowded. Things are pushing up against each other. You can't get that beautiful brown caramelization that you want from roasting. So those are two things. A lot of people forget to preheat their oven. It sounds so basic, but with roasting, you want to put whatever it is. And I want to say right now, you can roast vegetables, fish, fruit, obviously poultry of all kinds, and beef and pork of all kinds, and wild game. You don't want to put too much into a pan. Also, you don't want, this is a big mistake people make, they're like, oh, cool, what if I added some wine, or what if I added some water to the bottom of the pan? Again, you're going to start braising the food as opposed to roasting it, which is wonderful. But if what you're after is a really nicely roasted piece of whatever it is, don't add a lot of liquid.
And here's another one that I've learned recently, which is that tenting makes a big difference after you're done with the roast in the oven.
I'm so glad you brought that up, she says sarcastically. I know you wanted to talk about tenting, and I did a lot of research. In fact, you hear that? I printed out some 40...
You've got a book in front of you,
I do.
Basically.
I'm going to write the Tent Cookbook, and the subtitle's going to be Don't Do It. And here's
don't
why.
Don't tent.
Do not. Here's why. So what do you think tenting? I mean, this is when you put foil on after you've roasted
something.
You
put foil on the top of it to try to, what, retain the moisture.
Yeah, to try to what? That's exactly it right there. The reason most people tent is they take something out of the oven and then they think, because we're told this over and over, let it sit.
Right.
That's a good idea, but not for too long. So people think, okay, let's just take a huge piece of foil and let's tent it over the thing. So what happens if I wrap something up tightly? Again, it starts to steam. If I have a gorgeous roast goose or roast duck for the holidays, and it has this gorgeous skin on it, and I put foil on top of it, it's going to collapse. It's going to ruin all the beautiful effects of roasting. Loosely tenting something, so for instance, a turkey. Sometimes the legs will brown before the breast, or the breast will brown before the dark meat. And you might want to loosely tent that part of the bird. That's okay if it's getting too brown. But if you're doing it because you think it's going to keep the meat or the vegetables warmer longer, it's not. Try this. Next time you put a piece of foil on something, touch the foil after just a few minutes. It's not going to be hot anymore. It's not really doing a job. And what it's going to do is create steam, and you're going to lose it. So tenting, not so much.
All right. We learned something new right there. But let's talk about this food that you did make, Kathy, in front of us.
It smells really good.
It smells great. And let's start with this carrot dish.
Okay. So I thought that I wanted to sort of do a roasting light. Yes, we can talk about rib roast, but roasting vegetables. When I wrote this book in the 90s, people were not roasting vegetables. Now it's on every menu. These are beautiful, whole, very slender carrots that I roasted whole with pomegranate molasses and maple syrup. And then I added, after I took it out, after it gets just cooked through and kind of a sweet glaze.
You tent it.
No, you do not tent it. Have you learned nothing? What you do once you've taken it out of the oven, once it's just starting to cool off a little bit, is sprinkle it with fresh pomegranate seeds. So you get that gorgeous jeweled look of the seeds and a sweet crunch, which I always like.
You also have a roasted fish dish
here. I do.
Here.
People don't think of roasting fish as much as they think of roasting meat and vegetables. So first what I did was I cut two fennel bulbs up. Fennel is slightly licorice flavor. I adore fennel. I thinly sliced it. I tossed it with some olive oil, salt and pepper, and some peeled shallots. You could do onions also. And I roasted that for about 10 minutes at high heat. Then I add this beautiful piece of cod in the middle of all the fennel and the shallots and added some garlic and herb butter on top and roasted that. And then a tiny bit of breadcrumbs on top. And I think you get the roasted flavors in the shallots, the fennel, and the fish. And they're all kind of different.
When you're roasting something, if you need the oven for something else, can you share it or is that a bad idea?
Can you share it? It sounds like a shower. Of course you can share it. But like the classic is if you're doing a big holiday roast, you do want to take it out before you want to eat. You do want to let it sit. You do not want to tightly tent it. And then you can use the oven for all your other dishes. But most people's ovens won't fit a huge turkey or a goose or a duck or rib roast, plus all the vegetables you want to cook. So yeah, you can sneak some things in around the sides. But often while you're letting some roasted, beautiful dish sit, you can throw all your other ingredients in.
All right. Well, we will put all these recipes at our website, hereandnow.org. As always, Kathy Gunst, resident chef and author of her new book, Soup Swap, Comforting Recipes to Make and Share. Kathy, thanks as always.
Thanks, Jeremy.